Mini Babybel Light. Perfect for when you want to satisfy your cravings without compromising on taste. High in protein and 47% less fat than Mini Babybel Original, Mini Babybel Light is the ultimate snack to add to your new routine in 2023. Start your new year the right way with Mini Babybel Light.
Sometimes it feels like previous people I've been with have been, they would say something and they're like, oh yeah, you like that? And then I'm like, no, not really. Yeah. Like, especially not the way you just said that. Like, now I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm turned off.
It's cringy when guys say it in that shaky voice. Like, yeah, you like that.
No, I literally, like, I purposely, I had a little tickle in my throat. Like, oh yeah. Like, yeah. Yay. Christmas.
I'm ready.
Let's go. God dang. I don't know why every time we come on the podcast, I feel like I have to yell.
It's because we've been sitting here trying to record for 20
minutes.
It's
like a yeehaw, like a woo, like a, you know,
yeah,
ow, ow.
What'd you say?
Giddy up. Yippee-ki-yay. Giddy up. Come on now. Go on now.
Sit
oh,
on her horse.
Lord, I'm sorry. How are we doing?
Last episode, Sid just talking to her horse. I was dying laughing.
I was just doing my thing.
I had tears in my eyes. Such
I was
good,
just doing my thing.
That was such a good episode. If you haven't listened yet, go back to episode. Actually, that was two episodes ago.
That was.
Episode probably 102.
102,
I
believe.
If I had to guess.
We've had so many, like, we've shifted in the last, like, week or two that we're like, I don't know a number.
But why have we shifted?
Because.
OMG.
We have big guests coming on today.
That.
And.
But also.
Wait, what were you going to say?
But
I'm
also.
Like, that's why.
You guys, we get a couple weeks off from recording.
We do. Okay, so it's so important with mental health, you guys, like to actually take a break because we love our shit. We love what we do, but we also need to breathe.
This is our first time in 2 years
since we've taken a break. We've taken like 1 week off panic mode to like not record, but we haven't actually been like, let's be proactive and like have a few days off.
I was just talking about this with my therapist, actually. Proactive self-care versus like, oh my God, I burnt out. I'm having anxiety attacks. We can't record this week. We are planning ahead and we're going to take that time for ourselves to be with our family, our friends, and.
Well, just enjoy Christmas and the new year. Like, holy crap. But we'll only have 1 week off of no episodes. So just know that that's coming. But today's a big day. I'm just going to tell you what's going on because holy poop. If you have heard of Vanessa and Xander, I think the count is technically Vanessa and Xander. That's it.
You just tried
Why
to
did I just try
name?
To say that? Yeah, I know.
Vanander.
I'm like, Vanander. It's Vanander. No, they are a couple. Vanessa is a therapist. They're focused right now on digital stuff, but I'm so excited to tell you about them. So I'll give them a little intro right before we invite them on, but they're amazing. If you haven't already, go check out their Instagram because it'll tell you exactly what you're getting into today.
Do you know their Instagrams? People can look them up quick.
Vanessa and Xander.
Oh, how?
I know. That's why I was like I was trying to say it together.
And? A-N-D?
Yep. Vanessa, A-N-D, Xander.
Okay, cute.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I
know
that.
But first.
Oh, Lord. Moments of the week.
Oh, my God. You were me on our last episode of Just You and I. Like, when I came in and I was like, la, la, la. Like, had no idea what was going on. So you just got to get your head in the game. Listen to this.
Ow. That was a knee slap.
I burned my little fingies. I have a straight candid moment. Do you?
I will think of one when you go.
Okay. I actually have a question first and then I'll say my straight candid moment. Okay.
I
didn't know this. And ladies, if you're listening to this, if you knew this, great. You're better than me. But do you put conditioner on your head or just on the tips of your hair?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you asked this
question. Wait, are you serious? Because apparently.
You're supposed to only put it on the bottoms.
Why would I do that?
So here's what I've been doing.
Okay, here we go.
Because I have really, here we fucking go. I don't have naturally blessed hair like Sid. Like Sid, you could literally just shampoo your hair and wash your hair once a year and you'd still have luscious locks.
No, I would
I have
not.
To buy thousands of dollars worth of hair products. No, I'm just kidding. But I do buy K18 and it has saved my hair so far. And you only put it on your ends when you get out of the shower and that's your conditioner.
I've been putting that on when I have a conditioner that I've just done. And like a hair mask.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Why
right.
do you do all that? Your hair
I didn't,
is so
I'm not,
beautiful.
I get samples from Sephora. Here's the tool. Here's the cookie. Bring this home, okay? For Christmas.
Here's the cookie.
You save up your points and then you get a mask for like 250, I don't know, points. And then boom, you got a hair mask for free. Then you don't have to buy it. I never buy a hair mask in my life.
Okay. Yeah.
I bought one once. But
so
whatever.
Yes. So in the shower, I do my shampoo thing. And then when I get out, I grab my K18 and I tip my hair upside down and I scrunch it into my head.
Oh my God. I've been doing all this really wrong.
But I used to put conditioner all over my hair. It just gets greasier faster if you put it on the top. You know, if you only put it on the ends.
My hair doesn't really ever get greasy though. So like.
I hate you.
Because I just have a lot. So well, no, much. I just have a lot. So it's just like it doesn't.
My hair doesn't ever get greasy.
Okay,
or
but it gets
ugly.
Crusty it's on the bottom and dry.
It's just always a luscious.
Okay, I'll send a photo of you if I go to bed, like with my hair just even a little bit damp. I'll send you a photo in the morning. I'll tell you what I look like. Because you'll be like, oh. That's what you look like? That's usually what I look like. Yeah. So anywho.
My mom and I call ourselves hag hair. Like we just don't.
Hagrid.
We just don't grow hair past like our shoulders and it gets like thin and wispy. So if you are listening and you're one of those girls that just doesn't have the Sid hair. Just like.
I feel like I'm acting like I'm gifted. She's it's so like gifted. I'm not. I'm literally not
but
at all. That's stupid.
I've got the permanent extensions, the wefts, the K-tips. I felt like I could never wash my hair. Like I just felt dirty and like, you know, when you make out or something, like someone just grabs a fucking head of sewing something sewn into your scalp. I'm like, oh, I just
didn't
love it.
Picturing you getting like, oh God, don't touch my sew-in. Yeah, they like it's like everybody. I feel like a lot of people have them.
Well, and when I work, yeah, they do. But when I work out, I hate that feeling. So what I've been doing is Amazon literally has. I think they're like not even $100. Goo Goo Halo hair extensions.
They look so real.
I wear it whenever I go out. Like I'm wearing it now. I just don't on my daily day to day when I'm coaching. I don't wear anything because I want to be able to like scratch my scalp. But like it's so easy.
It looks real.
And the clip-ins I could always see when I moved my head side to side. Yeah. But these halos, like it's like a weft, but it just lays on top of your head. It's so easy. So
love it.
Try it out.
That's perfect. It looks legit. So
okay. Sorry
I'm
to interrupt your stricken.
That's okay.
Moment.
I just had to
give the girls a little. Give the hag hair girls a little tip.
Give the Hagrids what they want, okay? No, I'm a Hagrid in the morning. That's my point. But, okay, here's my straight candid moment. So I got in an accident. I got a rental car. I'm driving around this little, I called it a gerbil car because literally, like, if I press the pedal down, it would literally not go. Like, it was like, and it was, whatever, doesn't matter. Point of the story is they put me in the wrong car, so I had to go back. And I was like, okay, they called me. They're like, we are supposed to be an SUV. You're in this little gerbil car. And I said, okay, coming in. So I zipped over in my gerbil car and my hamster wheel. And I was on a meeting and I got into the new car and they're like, all right, all set. See you later. And I drove home and I like got off the meeting on my speaker and I was like, oh God, stank. It stank bad.
I thought you were just smelling my burp.
Oh, God, no. Oh, did you burp? I don't smell a burp. This
garlic fries from Red Cow, which are so good.
You're
going to
love this.
Sweet potato fries, Red Cow, shout out. Okay.
Okay, ready for this? Yeah, sorry, remind you, I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, okay? So I'm sniffing there. It smells like someone left like a McDonald's cheeseburger under the seat for like a year and a half. No. Not only that, it smells like, you know, the smell of like if someone spilled a milk or a coffee on the seat like 7 years ago and it just reeks of like curdled milk in the car.
Like a little bitter.
Oh, yeah. It's tart. It's really tart. So I park in the garage and I take my stuff out. Stains all over the seats. All over the seats. Wait for it. You know what I move the gear back and park. There are three dead box elder bugs and like literally like 2 inches of crumbs in like the cup holder and like the like little handle thing. The shifter. Wait for it. I stand up. I look at the seat. There are fucking fingernail clippings that I was sitting on.
Oh.
Fingernail clippings on the seat of the rental car. I literally was like, oh my God. My OCD. I was like, oh my God. I got out. I'm like, oh Jesus. I went up to the shower. I'm like scrubbing off. And I immediately called this ex company. And I was like, hi. You put me literally in the most disgusting fucking car I've ever sat in my whole. I was so mad. That's so gross.
So what'd they do?
They were so embarrassed. I have a different car.
Did they accidentally give one that was just like used?
Yeah. And I brought it back and I said, I swear I'm not like
a
psychopath.
Did you have to drive it back?
I drove it back. A stanky little thing. And I parked it and he goes, oh God, this is probably the grossest car we've ever had. Like he was like, that's it. I can't even describe. I wish I would have taken a photo of the seats. Anyway, straight candid moment is I was being a Karen, but I fucking got my way. Okay. And sometimes you gotta be a Karen, especially when fingernails are involved.
Oh, yes.
End of fucking story.
There's definitely times you're allowed to be a Karen. Absolutely. And that is one of them. I 100% agree with you.
Oh
my
God.
I'm sorry. Oh. That's disgusting. Okay. My straight candid moment. I'm feeling, I'll be honest, like, you know, some days you just feel a little slow. I'm feeling slow today.
That's
okay. So I'll figure it out. But
I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I like thought of the straight kid moment 7 times and tried to remember it. And now I'm like blanking, but it just slapped me quick. Slap me. Oh yeah. There it is.
There okay. it is.
I remember.
I almost want to smack you in the back of the head, but then you'll be like,
I'll be like, oh, my halo,
my go-go glow or whatever it's called. What's it called?
I think it's goo goo.
Oh, okay, whatever.
My goo goo galo halo.
Oh my God, I'll never forget the photo of when Ben put it on when you guys were out and going home and he was just wearing a little blonde wig. I about died.
Well, this is what happens. Like, it looks really good, but then when you get really, like, if you're drunk and dancing and having a great time, you get fucking hot.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because it's like, I can't imagine how you feel, like, with all that hair.
You should have seen how much I was sweating when I was eating those cheese curds at Red Cow.
So I took this halo off, middle of Jet Set, shoved it in my purse.
Are you kidding?
No. Then put my hair up in a bun and I'm just dancing because I was like, whenever I go to Jet Set, I get drenched in sweat. And on the way home, I pull it out of my purse and plopped it on Ben. And yeah, that's where that photo came from. Too good. Oh my God. But yeah, I remember when I said I was feeling really social.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I'm feeling so social. I'm back to myself, which was literally 2 days ago when we recorded that. All I want to do is go home and not talk to humans for the next 3 days. Yeah. But we're going to get through the next couple days. We're going to be good.
Yep.
We're still working really hard on our best Christmas ever.
Yes.
What day will this go out?
This one will be, I don't know.
I know we sorted this out, but off the top of my head, I could not tell you.
I will try to map it out.
I think it'll be past Best Christmas Ever. But if you're curious, you guys, about Best Christmas Ever and how much we raised, you can definitely check our Instagram. So we're going to move past that. My straight cannon moment, because I just realized it is past.
Oh, my God. It for sure is. Yeah.
Fuck it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on some sort of psychedelic or something. And I'm like, everything is like a little goo, like, whoa, with you. You're like over here. She spilled a whole cup of water and then she almost kicked the mic onto the ground, which is like the number one no-no of like how you can break a mic.
It's because I'm feeling a little bit anxious, a little stressed, and that's what happens to my brain.
Okay.
It happens to my brain. So my story kind of moment, it's just funny because it's not funny. I don't know why I said that.
You're scaring me. What's going on?
I just need a reset.
Okay, here.
We have guests on.
I know.
Okay. All right. My straight cannon moment this week. I think I'm just giggly.
I can't even look at you.
I'm just giggly. My straight cannon moment this week is, so I haven't been very touchy. I'm still like not very cuddly just during the week because I'm really busy and my sex drive is still not where it used to be, whatever. So whenever I leave or whenever me and Pastor Pat are giving like little kisses goodbye,
aww,
I'm always the first one who pulls away and like moves, you know, like kiss, 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 kiss. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. Or
that's
kiss,
Jordan.
And then I like pull away, you know, like I'm ready to like make my food or I'm ready to do my laundry. Like I'm ready to do the next thing because I have so many things I have to do get done. So like I'll like, you know, stay there for a little bit, put my arms around his neck and kiss him a little bit, whatever. So the other day he was leaving out the door and I'm like, okay, I'm going to test him. I'm not going to pull away. And I'm going to see how long, I'm going to see how long this man stands here and goes, like little pet kisses, right?
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, this is like all in my brain because I had nothing to do that night and he was the one leaving. So I'm like, this will be.
I love how it could take like max maybe 5 minutes, but you're like, oh shit, I got so much to do.
Yes.
How long is this going to take?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, here we go. He has his bag on his shoulder. He starts kissing, kissing, kissing. And I'm like, oh my God, like he literally isn't stopping. And then I was like, you're like a little pecker bird. He just kept going, mwah, mwah, mwah. So cute though. And I'm like,
it is pretty cute.
And then I'm like, literally, I swear to God, it's been 3 minutes, like 3 minutes. Think of full long minutes of like, you're on your way out the door, you know? And I finally just start laughing hard. And I'm like, I was literally trying to test you to see how long you would do this. And he was like kind of laughing so hard because he was like embarrassed that he just continued to do it and do it. I'm like, it was
little
so
pecker boy
cute. But I don't know. It was like had to be there moment because we were both laughing so hard.
I feel like that's really cute though.
It was cute.
Little Pat.
Little Pat.
Little petty pants.
Yeah.
And little peck.
Because I was like, I feel like I'm always the one to pull away. Like I feel bad. And
you know, Jordan is the one that pulls away. He gives a max 3 like little like sexy kisses, uh-huh, even when we're not going to do something.
Yeah.
And then he pulls away and I'm like, okay.
Yep.
I'm like,
well, you and If you empower dating, turn over. Kiss forever.
Ooh. Well, ooh, God, don't say that. Ben and him can do that. Okay, let's meet our guests, shall we? Because they're about to come on. We got to get them on here.
Let's get them
on. All right, I have a little intro. So meet Vanessa and Xander. Oh, my God. Did I say that right? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, my God. You guys, my brain is so wacky today, too. I have a friend named Xander, so I was like, Xander, that doesn't sound right. Okay. We're back.
Are we high?
I think so. Meet Vanessa and Xander Marin, your new BFF couple friends. She is a sex therapist with 20 years of experience, and he's a regular dude. Together, they are shockingly open, slightly nerdy, and seriously funny couple you want to grab sushi with. They share the ups and the downs in their relationship while giving you step-by-step techniques for improving yours. Follow them on IG, Vanessa and Xander. Tune into their podcast, Pillow Talks, and join their email list on their link in bio for totally doable sex tips, practical relationship advice, hilarious and honest stories of what really goes on behind this bedroom closed doors, and so much more. There you go. Shall we bring them in?
Let's do it.
Come on in, crew.
Her. Xander and Vanessa, hello, you guys.
How you doing?
Hi. We're so excited to be here.
So excited to have you. Oh my gosh, we've been like hyped to have you on. This is hilarious because a while back we had asked our listeners, who should we have on the podcast? And we got like seven of you, like your guys' names. Like your exact Instagram being sent to us. Yeah.
Oh, we love hearing that. Yeah. Our community goes really hard for us. So we are just so appreciative of them for recommending us. It's really sweet to hear.
Yeah. So could you guys give us just a little rundown of who you are, what you do? And I also am really curious about how you two met. So all that.
So I'm Vanessa. I'm a licensed psychotherapist.
I'm Xander. I'm just a regular dude. I used to work in tech and then realized it's a lot more fun to talk about sex with my wife all day. So that's what I do now.
Yeah. So I specialize in sex therapy, and we have a business where through our podcast and online courses and guides, we help couples keep the spark alive in long-term relationships. Because I think anybody who's been in a long-term relationship knows that it can be a little bit of a struggle sometimes. So I started off this business by myself originally, like seeing people one-on-one, kind of in that traditional psychotherapy setting, and just realized really quickly that it's a tough task to go in and talk to an absolute stranger about the most intimate details of your sex life, and started building out online guides and courses and realizing like this is such a better fit. People can access the information in a much more approachable way. And so Xander joined a few years after that. And then we started talking about our own relationship actually just a couple of years ago, and really wanted to share with people like, we're a real couple. We've been together. We're coming up on 15 years in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So we get the challenges of keeping that spark alive. And I think people have really resonated just hearing us be vulnerable and share our own stories.
Yeah. And so we met in San Francisco just about 15 years ago. I was straight out of college. She was almost straight out of college. It was
we were babies.
Yeah. It was a holiday party at my bachelor pad with like four other dudes. I was DJing, and Vanessa fell in love at first sight, and you know, that's that. But it was cool because we met before Vanessa was, you know, in this field. Vanessa's built up this whole business, like, you know, since we've been together, and you know, I got to join a number of years ago and kind of move from doing the operational side of things into actually, you know, being in front of the camera and doing the content. So it's a pretty cool journey.
It's a very cool journey. I feel like I have to ask, because when I first started seeing my boyfriend, we just started the podcast. You hadn't started seeing Pat yet, really. Nope. Yeah. And it was a little bit of a barrier of entry of like, what are you going to share in this podcast? Because that's my personal life too. Can you just like speak to that? Because now you're completely open talking about taboo things and completely comfortable with it. And now it's your full-time job for both of you.
Yeah, it was definitely a journey for us. And coming from a psychotherapy background too, like my training is you don't talk about yourself. Like it's all about the client. You don't share any personal information. So I had to go through my own journey of realizing like it actually helps people, you know, when you're vulnerable, when you lead with vulnerability, it helps other people realize like, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not a weirdo who's broken and everything's terribly wrong with me. Like there are other people going through what I'm going through. So that was a big realization for me of like, hey, I can actually make a bigger impact if I share myself with my community versus if I try to keep tight-lipped and professional. And then when Xander came on, it was like having to renegotiate this all over again of like, yeah, what do we feel comfortable talking about? What do we not? Definitely had a lot of experiences having vulnerability hangovers. Like we'd share something and the next day, like, oh my God, I can't believe we shared that. I don't even want to look in the DMs or emails. Like, I don't want to see. But we've, yeah, learned to kind of navigate that. And it's really the positive feedback that we get from our community that keeps us going whenever we feel that pit in our stomachs of, I can't believe I just shared that. And we get those messages back from people saying, oh my God, this helped so much. I really appreciate it. It's like, okay, I can keep going. But practically, we give each other complete no questions asked veto power. So if there's something that we want to talk about that day, and even if we like record a story, the other person can say, you know what, I'm X-naying that. Let's actually not post that.
And that happens sometimes. Like you record something and like I'm listening back and I'm like, oh, I don't know. This just, it sounds like it's too much or it's not quite right. And then, you know, we just kind of say, nope, delete that one.
Yeah. Actually, so we don't want to put pressure on each other to like, you have to, you know, spill your soul on the internet. So we just, it's like no questions asked. If you want it cut, it's cut. We're moving on.
I love that.
I love, there's actually so many parallels between like the vulnerability aspect that you were sharing and our podcast, which is why I think this is such a good alignment with this kind of partnership for this podcast, because we try to lead with like candidness, which is why we're called Straight Candid, is showing the kind of that taboo side and, you know, having other people relate. But starting a podcast with your one of your good friends is probably very similar but different with starting a podcast with your husband or wife. So I'm curious to know like how your relationship, if it's been hard starting a podcast, a business in general with you two, have there been roadblocks? Has there been disagreements? And I guess any tips for that?
Yeah, I mean, I can jump in and start. I mean, since I joined while Vanessa had already started the business, already had a growing business, you know, I definitely struggled at the beginning because I was trying to juggle, like, am I joining this business full time? I was also doing some other consulting work on the side. And it was hard for me to decide, like, am I going all in with this? Like, you know, I came from the corporate world, from tech, and you know, this felt like a very non-traditional business. And like, you know, how, you know, this doesn't actually make money, right? And I just like had everything backward in my mind. And I was like, oh, I got to keep doing this consulting because I'm like billing my hours and I get paid, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it wasn't until I finally decided that I wanted to go all in that I think are working, like everything really fell into place. Because it's really hard to kind of juggle that when you have like one foot in the door and one foot out of the door. And so I think for me, that was really the turning point when I decided to come full time all in.
Yeah, I think I don't recommend this to everybody for sure, like working with your partner, even like working with a really good friend. So I think there are two key things that you need to have. Like one is that you need to be okay with spending a lot of time together. And not all relationships or friendships are like that. And that's fine. It doesn't mean it's like a less healthy or less good relationship, but you just have to be able to spend a lot of time and not drive each other nuts. Oh, unfortunately, yeah. We're able to do that. It takes a long time for us to get to our like, oh my God, I'm going crazy period. And then the second thing is really good communication skills, because there is an endless number of things that you have to communicate about when you're in business with somebody that you care about. And so if you are not willing to be a good communicator, not willing to actively work on always improving your communication, like it's just, it's not going to work out. But I think that's a strength that both of us have that we each really appreciate about each other.
Yeah, I think that being like open to change, especially when it comes to communication habits, is so important. Because for me, coming from the corporate world, I was really set in my ways of like, this is how you communicate in the workplace. And this is what, like, this is appropriate and this is inappropriate.
Oh my God, I feel this.
And
so
the
much.
Yeah. Like, seriously, and the reality is, yeah, like what, you know, in this business that we're in, the stuff that I thought was inappropriate, you know, in a corporate setting is actually very appropriate. And so like, I had to really change my perspective and be willing to do stuff really different than I had done for like 8 years before that.
You're making me feel not crazy. Like, seriously.
I don't think I've ever, like, we should, like, get dinner with you guys. I feel, like, heard for once, which is really cool.
Because people always would say, aren't you worried about your corporate job? I'm like, why?
Yes.
No. And at first, yes. Now, no. But anyway, I'm like, I just feel very, very heard. But communication. I hear it, all the things. Let's get juicy. The first question, this won't be as juicy, but the first thing I wanted to ask is, whether it be past and when you were in-person therapy or what people are sending in right now, what is the most common thing you're getting questions about related to intimacy?
So, yeah. I think in relationships, it's definitely that sense of losing the spark. Like, I'm not really attracted to my partner anymore. I don't want to have sex with them. Everything's feeling like it takes so much more effort, where it used to feel so effortless and easy before. And I think it brings up a lot of fears for people when they get to that point in a relationship where it starts to feel so much harder. So that's far and away, like, the biggest bucket of things that fall into that. But we also get a lot of questions about not feeling very much pleasure during sex, not enjoying sex that much, and really feeling kind of a disconnect with that. Definitely a lot of mismatched sex drives, and a lot of just general lack of confidence in the bedroom. People saying, like, I can't do that position. I can't say that thing. I can't tell my partner what I really want. So, and a lot of that comes down to communication too. I think, you know, we actually just wrote a book about how to talk to your partner about sex, which is wild because there is not a single other book out there about how to talk to your partner about sex. Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, about your own sex life.
There's books about how to talk to your kids about sex. There are no books about how to talk to the person that you're having sex with about what you're doing.
That's crazy. Shocked.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Well, you guys hit the nail on the head. Are you kidding me?
And also, yeah. Every single thing you just brought up, I was like, I want to know the answer. I want to know the answer. I want to know the answer. So I think we start with the first thing you brought up, which was if you feel like you're losing the spark and you're in a long-term relationship, and you know, we have listeners that are younger, but we also have listeners that are married. We have listeners that are in even relationships 3, 4 years, 5 years. So how do you keep the spark in your sex life?
So the first place that we always like to start is just normalizing that it's okay for the spark to fade. And like literally every relationship goes through this, but I think we all have these very fairy tale notions in our heads of what relationships are supposed to look like. And we get really freaked out when that passion starts to fade. But even if you look at it from a brain chemistry level, like the neurotransmitters that you have in your brain when you meet somebody, you start a relationship, you fall in love, they can only last like 1 to 3 years max.
And mostly it's like 6 to 12 months is sort of that like initial burst of the like in love feeling, which is, I mean, it's like you're on drugs. It's such an intense, an intense thing. And so you feel that and you're like, oh, okay, this must be what it's like. And then that starts to taper off. And so it can be confusing, like, oh, does this mean that I actually don't love this person? Like, you know, no one really talks about that.
Some people just give up and break up and they keep going through that repeat, right?
Yeah. So I think it's really important to even just on that basic level to recognize like your brain is not capable of having that intensity of feeling for somebody for longer than that period of time. And that's okay. It's normal. It doesn't mean that anything is wrong. So I think sometimes when we start from that place, it relieves a lot of anxiety for people, and then they feel a little bit more open to like, okay, we can dive into this a bit more. So there are a million things that, you know, that can come up that take the spark away. But I think one of the central themes that wraps around all of those is that we stop making an effort in our relationship. So we always talk about that, like, you know, keeping the spark alive, like what happened to the spark? And we kind of take a step back and be like, well, have you been throwing logs on the flame? Are you doing anything to feed the fire between the two of you? Because a lot of us really take our relationships for granted. It's like we find that person, we're like, okay, you're my person, great. I found you. I went through the whole, you know, dating process. Like now I get to kind of kick back and relax. And I think men are even more guilty of this, like in male-female relationships. But all of us, we kind of take our foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
And, you know, what happens is like we think, well, it used to be so natural. It was so easy at the beginning, right? So if it doesn't feel easy anymore, then there must be something wrong. And what we like to really challenge that idea and say, you're looking backward and remembering it as easy, but the reality was it wasn't easy. You were actually putting a ton of effort into things. Like you were making planning dates, you're getting ready, you're doing all this stuff, you're thinking about the person all the time. I mean, it's like, you know, it's kind of like you're having like foreplay in your head, so to speak, like in advance of the date. So you're like, you're ready to go, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality is we don't do that after, you know, 6, 12, 2, 3 years, whatever it is.
It's so funny that you mentioned this because I remember like going on dates and like shaving ready for like intimate moments, you know, and now I'm like, now it's like if I don't want to have sex, I'm like, it's just not my night. But I think back to like, how did I prep and like tell myself I was ready to do it and I actually was in the mood when I was dating, like, you know, way back when. And I was like ready and prepped and horny, and now I'm like going on a date. I'm like, oh, I still only feel like it. My stomach hurts. Like, meh.
Yeah, that's the classic. I'm like, I had too much cheese. I can't. Yeah.
And there's another really interesting piece of brain science with this too. So there's been some fascinating research done on anticipation and how that like happens in your brain. And basically dopamine is the hormone that gets associated with that feeling of anticipation. And what researchers have found is that we actually experience more pleasure from the anticipation of pleasure than we do from pleasure itself. So the studies they did were on like slot machines. So you would think if you win money, like that would be the ultimate pleasure, right? Like your brain would light up. But actually people's brains lit up the most when they pulled the lever. It was that sense of like, is it coming? Is this going to be the time? You're building that anticipation of winning.
Yeah.
And so it's exactly what you're talking about with dates. Like
is
when you had
night?
A date, yeah, like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm getting everything ready. I'm putting on my best outfit. I'm like listening to all my pump up music.
Yeah, so of course you're in the mood.
Yeah, so you're building up all that anticipation for that moment. Whereas like, I mean, who of us does that in long-term relationships consistently?
That's hot.
It is attractive. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so what happens on the other side of that of like, because we had listeners write in, I was trying to find the actual comment that they said because they wrote it out, but they're like, it says, if my partner is trying to plan out sex because we're always so busy, I get more anxious about the planning part. Then by the time we get into it, I say no. I just get in my head and nervous and the pressure kills my mood. And they said, what do we do? And I'm like, that's interesting because it's like the flip of the anticipation. It like turns. Yeah, that's like the too much, the stress anticipation.
Yeah, so we love the idea of planning for sex or scheduling sex. I know a lot of people like cringe at that theme. They're like, oh God, I don't like scheduling it. That's so awful. But we always planned for sex in different phases of the relationship. Like early in the relationship, when you're going on dates and like planning to spend the night, you're planning for sex, right? So it's not that there's something terrible about having to do it later in the relationship. It does for some people. When you schedule it, it can bring up that sense of pressure rather than the excitement of anticipation. So what I usually suggest to people in those kinds of situations is to schedule quality time together and make sure that you have that time because we're all busy these days. A lot of us are just not spending much time with our partner and definitely not quality time. So rather than making this commitment of like, I'm signing this contract that we are going to have sex on Wednesday at 8 p.m., you're approaching it more as like a date night instead of like, hey, we're going to go out to dinner or we're going to like watch our favorite movie together. So you're creating that space for the two of you, but it's not the expectation that it has to be sex specifically.
I see. I saw this, your reel. I think it was a reel on a TikTok actually about like our routine's bad. And that's exactly what it is. It's like, actually it's creating space for the time to be together. So that makes way more sense. Now I'm like, okay, I see. Cause if you don't, then you burn out like us. And that's a whole nother thing, like how to separate that. So I really appreciate you doing that. Oh my God, I just lost my question. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I have a question. It's for myself.
Yeah. Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend. So lately, like, and I think Sid probably relates to this too, and a lot of listeners do, but like stress during the week is nonstop. Like busy, busy, busy. I feel like I can't catch a breath. And when I get home, I want to read my book and I honestly don't want to talk that much. I want to go to bed. And there's not the time. And I notice myself when I do feel a little more like in the mood, I've realized the past couple months it's been on the weekends or on a Sunday when I feel relaxed. And I'm like, that's really interesting. Because I during the week, I'm like, no, don't touch me. So how do I manage my, like, how can I, some, I know you're going to say slow down and like relax, but like I can't.
Yeah, I think people don't realize that stress is the number one sex drive killer. And we all have that attitude about stress that you just had. Like, I know I'm supposed to slow down, but I can't, right? And so a lot of us have just sort of normalized, like, stress just is a part of my life. But we like to talk about the, if you think about like our caveman, cave people ancestors. So when you are stressed, your body literally shuts down your libido. Because when we go back to those cave people ancestors, like if you were stressed, that was because your life was like actually in jeopardy. Like there's a woolly mammoth that's chasing after you. You're not going to have an erection at the same time. Like if you got a boner flapping around between your thighs and you're being chased, like that's, you're going to die, right? So yeah. when we're stressed, our body shuts down all the functions that it deems unnecessary for survival. And libido is like one of the first ones to go. So when it comes to like, what do we do about this practically? Because I know not everybody can just wake up tomorrow and say, okay, I'm going to clear 75% of the things off my plate. Like we're adults, we have responsibilities. So one thing that can be really helpful is to have some sort of transition ritual at the end of your day. So most of us, we're so busy, we're running around like crazy all day, and then we just collapse and we wind up, you're scrolling through your phone, you're on Netflix, and it's like, oh my God, 2 hours have passed and I don't feel any better than I did, right? So if we try to be a little bit more intentional about, I want to create a little ritual at the end of every day where I'm releasing what happened during the day and then I'm changing my intentions, switching my energy to focus on showing up for myself, showing up for my partner, having a relaxing evening. Sometimes it's even just labeling like, I want to set the stress aside. And what's the kind of evening that I want to have tonight? Another thing is to have it be by yourself. So sometimes people feel so crunched for like, oh my God, I haven't had any time with my partner. Now we're supposed to hang out, but you're both bringing that frenzied energy. And it's just like, it doesn't feel like connected time anyways. So even if it's 5 or 10 minutes of like you going into your room, closing the door, doing something more intentional than being on the phone, like maybe it's taking a few deep breaths. Maybe it's dancing around to your favorite song. Maybe it's going outside and just going for a walk around the block. But something where you're intentionally and consciously thinking, okay, this is me setting aside the stress of the day and like moving into personal time.
Oh, yeah, ideally that. Something that's like decreasing the stimuli. Because mm-hmm. like you know, throughout the day, you have like all these stimuli. And so you're trying to choose an activity where, you know, it's less sounds, less light, less phone.
Just yeah. less of all of it. Whatever. Yeah. To get your brain to relax a little bit. I love that. I need that. We needed that. Yeah. You and I both. I might rapid fire a few questions at you. Is that okay with
yeah.
you guys?
Because yeah.
I wanted to ask, we got a lot of questions about having different sex drives. And you mentioned that in the beginning of like, yep, this is a constant for us. How do you manage not having the same sex drive as your partner?
Okay. I'll try to rapid fire and answer.
I know. No, you don't need to be quick. But
it's like one of my favorite topics to talk about. So we always start with normalizing here too. Every relationship has mismatched sex drives. You're never going to find a partner who wants sex the exact same moment, the exact same time, the exact same kind of sex every single time. Like it just doesn't happen. So we have to normalize, totally like reasonable for people to have different drives. The next most important thing is you have to figure out what your sex drive type is. So most people don't realize there are two sex drive types. Okay, I'll slow down a little bit because you guys are looking interested.
Yeah. Bring it in. Come on now.
So a lot of people get into these situations in their relationships where they think their sex drives are so mismatched, but they actually don't understand their sex drive type and how it works. So the two sex drive types boil down to where you feel interested in sex first. So we can be mentally interested in sex, like, oh, it sounds good, sounds fun. I want to go find my partner. Let's do it. And then you can also be interested in your body. So that's like, you know, getting an erection, getting wet, you know, just your body is like physically getting ready for sex. So the two types depend on where you get turned on first. So there's spontaneous sex drive type, which is you're going to lead with your head first. It just pops into your head like, ooh, sex sounds good.
This is what you see on TV in the movies. It's like two people look at each other and all of a sudden it's game on.
But you might not have an erection right away. You might not be wet, but it's like in your brain, you're interested in it. And then responsive sex drive is the second type, which is where you have to be turned on in your body first before your brain then gets the signal of like, ooh, this is feeling good. I want to continue and do more. So most people don't realize that this type exists, and they think of themselves as I have low sex drive or no sex drive because I never mentally like get that idea, oh, I want to go have sex right
now. Do you guys have the same or different?
So in most couples, you're one of each type. And typically, women are more of the responsive sex drive and men are more of the spontaneous sex drive. So like if you're a woman and if you've ever been in the middle of sex or even at the end of sex and you're like, that was really fun. Like, why do I not want that more often? That's responsive sex drive.
I literally said that to Jordan.
I just told Pat that the other day.
I was like, wow, that was so fun.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And I like kind of was like, oh. And then I'm floating around the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think I'm definitely then the responsive one because I have a hard time like actually getting myself to do it because it takes effort. It takes time. Mm-hmm. And then when it's done every single time, I'm like, I should do that more.
Yeah. So if you're a responsive type, like you have to lead with your body first. So if your partner's just asking you, hey, you want to have sex right now? You're gonna be like, no. No, I'm not interested because your body needs to get involved first. So instead, you kind of have to like switch around how initiation happens a bit, and you have to start like paying some sort of attention to your body. So we want to do like the idea here is not like, oh, just have sex and then eventually you'll get into it. It has to be like physical contact that you feel comfortable doing. But even if it's something like your partner giving you a massage, you guys starting to make out for a little while, maybe your partner like focusing on you and making it very clear like there's no expectation of reciprocation, no expectation that we have to go further. I'm just like giving you some stimulation right now. It could even be like you masturbating. If you have this sense of like, I want to be intimate with my partner later, but like I want to get myself going a little bit first. It could be a little bit of masturbation, but it's like you have to get your body into the picture first and then your brain's going to be like, oh yeah, I'm enjoying this. Let's go further.
It makes so much more sense now. Like my brain, I like literally have a sense of relief because I've always been like, well, like, why am I not spontaneous? Like, why am I not like, let's just, you know, do it here. Yeah. Like whatever.
Do you
it's
guys
like, no.
want to know, I'm going to make it quick. The craziest story ever. Cause it reminds me of this is I had a friends with benefits situation before I was dating my boyfriend now. And I definitely not the spontaneous. I was responsive, but I was on my way to his house, but I wanted to be turned on when I got there.
Oh my God.
So I brought my vibrator in the car and just put it in my lap on the way there when I was driving.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. That's what responsive types need. Yeah. It's like you have to get your body involved first.
I acted all spontaneous. I'm like, nah, I really wasn't.
No, well, that's sometimes, I mean, you can't lie. Like if you're raising your hand right now and you're like, sometimes you put your hand and you just kind of like touch yourself a little bit. Like while it's like, you know, like you're kind of in bed, like you're relaxing, maybe you're going to go to sleep. And then you're finally like your body and your mind have connected. And now you're tapping their shoulder like, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, yeah. So for us, actually, initially we identified sort of opposite. Mm-hmm. Vanessa is more of a spontaneous type. And I identified as more of a responsive type. And what I can say is that over time, I feel like I wouldn't say that I am completely spontaneous now, but as I started to understand that and understand what I needed in order to get turned on, and like as I made more of a habit of like, okay, I do these things that are going to help me feel turned on, and then I start to trust, oh, okay, I know that within a couple of minutes of doing X, Y, or Z, or like once we get to the bedroom and take our clothes off, like I'm going to be turned on. Once you really build that trust, then it stops feeling like, oh, I'm just this responsive type. I'm not spontaneous. Like now, you know, we talk about sex a lot, obviously, because it's our work. But, you know, we'll just be talking about something and then it'll be like, oh, sex, like, that could be nice. I know that I will be into that in 2 minutes if I just ask her, like, should we go to the bedroom? And then it's like effectively like I've hacked my way into being spontaneous.
That is so freaking smart. I'm not going to lie. That's like hacking the system. Can I ask a quick question? Because I want to ask about dirty talk and I want to talk about butt stuff because we have not even covered that at all. But I have to ask you, as a male Xander, like being so comfortable with your sexuality, with intimacy, with sex conversations, like how do you tell a guy right now listening to get there or like to attempt to get there?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I can tell you I was not always this way. Like when I first met Vanessa, she told me that she wanted to be a sex therapist and I thought, wow, that's so cool. Like my friends are gonna love the idea that I'm dating a budding sex therapist, right? But I was scared out of my mind of like, does this mean like I'm gonna have to talk about my own stuff?
Or be like, really good at sex.
That was really scary. Yeah. Yeah, like that was so scary. And so like, you know, honestly, you know, we had to start having our own problems for me to really realize, oh, I actually have to talk about this. Like, I got to go to therapy. I got to start talking about it. We maybe need to go to therapy together and start talking about it. So what I would tell other people is you don't have to do it exactly that way, but like you do need to get started with some basic conversations. I think where we get really tripped up is thinking, oh, if I need to start talking about sex or my sexuality, we have to jump right into the deep end and talk about, you know, more extreme stuff or like everything that's wrong in our relationship or all these, you know, kinky things that we need to try. And the reality is you can start super, super basic, just talking about like, hey, sex is this fun thing that we do together. Here are some of the things that I really like. Like you can start with really positive, simple things. Like even just after you have sex, like literally turning your head and being like, hey, that was really fun. I loved it when you did this.
I have another question for you, Xander, actually, too, because I think dating a sex therapist, like right away, I'd be nervous about performance. And, you know, I'd be like, oh, like I have to perform. And I know that goes for women, too, but I've dated men in the past who have dealt with performance anxiety. Do you guys ever give advice based on performance anxiety, especially for men, I think, right now, and how that can lead to, you know, erectile dysfunction or issues with getting boners and things like that? So I'm curious, tips for performance anxiety in general.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've certainly had my own struggles with this. When we think that the only way to have sex successfully is through penetration, like then as a man you're like, oh my god, like my penis is responsible for everything, and that's a lot of pressure. And you know, you were talking about like we were talking about the pressure earlier of like a scheduled sex date, and then it's like that's too much. It's the same thing for guys when you're like, oh well, the only way for me to be successful in bed is to get it up, to stay hard, and to finish. And I think we try to talk to guys about like it is not all about your penis. In fact, for most women, penetrative sex is not the most pleasurable thing. What's the stat?
Yeah,
there?
We actually polled our audience and we said, you know, is penetration, like intercourse, is that your favorite activity from a pleasure standpoint? And 91% of women said no.
Holy
they had a
crap.
Preference for something else.
91%. That's insanity.
Yeah. So we need to tell men about, you know, the ways that women actually feel, or the ways that most women actually feel pleasure. And it, you know, hint, it's the clitoris. And there are a lot of better ways to stimulate that don't include your penis. And so just taking that pressure off, like it's not all about you and it's not all about that one body part that you don't actually have full control over. That really helps kind of, you know, yeah, get you past this idea of I have to perform. It's just like, no, you don't have to perform. You can do this and really make her super, super happy. And I think once you get that pressure off of you, then all of a sudden it's like, I'm confident. Oh, I'm hard again. Like, let's go.
And I want to point out too, like, because with whenever we talk about the sex drive types, people are always like, oh, well, spontaneous sounds better. Like, why can't I just be that? But the challenge for spontaneous types is that they often have more performance issues, because in your head, you want to have sex, but your body hasn't caught up yet. And so again, with men, you know, this can be like a really embarrassing, shameful thing of like, oh my God, I just initiated, or like I started making out with my partner, but now I'm not getting immediately hard, and it can lead to all this like pressure and intensity. So spontaneous isn't inherently better.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's it. That's a great point, is that, yeah, like I would initiate sex and be like, oh, well, I'm the one who initiated, so I'm the one who has to follow through with this. But yeah, the reality is, and when you initiate sex, you're not guaranteeing intercourse. Like there's a whole wide menu of options.
I love that.
Just because you've initiated something doesn't mean you have to do one out of, you know, 10. I'm just making up numbers, but like one out of 10 acts.
I love that though, because it's like everybody thinks it's like this equals this no matter what. So if you mess up in the middle, done, cut it off, it's over. No one is happy. Your partner's not happy. Everyone's mad. I love that you bring that up. You talk about too, like people and the expectations and feeling like heavy in it. How do you deliver feedback then to somebody who's really sensitive and likely will turn away from you and be done if they hear like, oh, do this instead of this, or like, I don't want to do that, like try this on me, and they get defensive or angry hearing that. They feel insecure.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing with feedback is, Xander was kind of talking about this a little bit earlier, that a lot of us hear feedback in our head and it feels so scary. And we think, we immediately jump to ideas of like criticizing or like, oh, you're so bad at that, don't do that kind of thing. But that's definitely not the only way to give feedback, and definitely not our recommended way to give feedback. So I think being able to phrase things in a positive way, asking for something that you want, telling your partner something you like that you want them to keep doing more of, is always going to be more successful for you and for your partner than criticizing them about something that they're doing wrong. So if you already know that your partner's like really sensitive and tends to get defensive on things, I would go really heavy in the compliment zone and just telling your partner like, oh my God, you're so good at kissing. I love when you kiss me. Like, it's the best when you go super, super slow and there's just like that tiny little bit of tongue, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm just making up a random example here. But when you really are just focusing on leading heavy with those compliments, so they feel kind of like, oh, I am good at kissing. Yeah, okay, great. And then, you know, you're sharing with them specifics of what you want even more of. So that just makes them feel that motivation to like, oh, I'm already doing a good job and I can do even more.
I wonder if that is a perfect segue into dirty talk, because if you're not a dirty talker, which I'm transparently, I'm not really, I don't know. I feel kind of funny doing it. Maybe I could retrain my brain in the way that I'm thinking about it, to think about it as like I'm giving a compliment to my partner and how they're doing, and it's going to make me feel sexy and it's going to make them feel sexy, instead of being like, dirty talk, daddy, you know what I mean? Like,
daddy,
I'm not into
slap
that.
Me.
No, I'm like, I'm not into that.
Send you guys our dirty talk guide after this.
Okay, deal. But like,
we have a whole guide, because, yeah, I think people.
I want to.
I will
be
send
able
it to you.
To,
it's really fun. It has worksheets and like all kinds of fun stuff.
I'm
yeah.
excited. your advice?
With dirty talk, a lot of people like leap instantly to like, you know, I have to be totally filthy and like giving this whole storyline and exactly what I want. And like, I will say for myself too, I was not good at dirty talk. Yeah. Like, I got super self-conscious and was like, I love hearing. I know, he's like, yeah. Well, Xander's good at it. And I just like would enjoy the moment listening to him. And then he had to kind of prompt me at a certain time and be like, you know, you can respond to like,
oh my God,
I'm
you're
just
me.
Soaking it up over here, enjoying.
Well, because I'm like saying these things, I'm like, she's not saying anything. Like, is she super not into this?
I was very into it. Anyway, no, but like it doesn't listening. Have to be this elaborate thing. Like, you can ease your way into it and get more confident with just compliments. I mean, even something as simple as like, that feels so good. You make me feel so good. Like, that can be incredibly sexy for your partner to hear. It doesn't feel super scary for you to say. So it's like, you build up that confidence and then you can work up towards phrases that might feel a little bit more challenging.
I just have a hard time like getting around the word cock, and I feel like dirty talk
I'm like, what? I feel
that's
like
a worksheet
talk
that we have in our guide. Is yeah. We have like here are a ton of different words for penis, a
you
ton of different
to
words
cock.
For
okay.
vagina and vulva and all that. And you can circle like which ones you like, cross out which ones are off the table.
I love this.
We've done this too. Like there were certain words that Xander has said that I'm like, I'm not into that. Yeah. So like, let's take that one off the table. But it's like little fun worksheet stuff.
Sometimes it feels like the partner or previous people I've been with they would say something and they're like, oh yeah, you like that? And then I'm like, no, not really. Yeah. Like especially not the way you just said that. Like now I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm turned off.
It's
like
cringy.
Turned off.
It's cringy when guys say it in that shaky voice. Like, yeah, you like that.
No, I purposely had a little tickle in my throat. Like, oh yeah. Like, yeah.
But I think the worksheet with the partner is a great call.
Yeah, I mean, we all have reactions to certain words that we're like, you just don't. So if you don't like the word cock, then that should not be a part of your dirty talk vocabulary.
Yeah, there's tons of other words.
Yeah, pick something else.
I love this. And where can listeners find this dirty talk guide?
We have it on our website. It's at vmtherapy.com. There's a link right at the top with like online guides and courses, and they can pop right on over there. It's really fun. It's a very fun little workbook to go love through it. Together.
Well, we're almost wrapped up, but we have a few questions that me and Sid haven't quite discussed.
These two.
Because we're afraid to discuss it. One, because we don't have much experience in this realm. But butt stuff, booty stuff, anal sex, anal play, all the butts.
Where the heck do you even start? Because I am so like, I have no idea what's going on down there. Like, no idea.
Yeah.
And is it just me or does every girl have like a horror story from this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, we'll send you we have a butt stuff guide too. So we'll send that to you. But we'll share some starting points. So big thing that people get wrong about butt stuff is that everybody immediately just thinks intercourse, like penis in your butt. And that is like varsity level. That is not where we want to start with.
And that's where many of these horror stories come from.
Yeah, if somebody just like, I wasn't prepared, he just went for it, like, you know, and it hurts.
Yeah, or like I was feeling, you know, confident one night and I was like, all right, let's just do it because I was so scared to, you know, to ease into it. And then, you know, when you're scared and you're like, okay, let's just do it, it's almost never going to be a good experience.
Okay, so the thing with your butt is that most of the nerve endings are around your anus, like the outside. So you don't have to have any sort of penetration internally to enjoy butt play. And this is the best starting place for people is just do like a lubed up fingertip to your partner's butthole. And you don't have to push in at all. So this is usually best when it's paired with some sort of genital stimulation. So your partner is going down on you, maybe they're using, you know, they have a finger that they're sneaking around the back to touch as well. Of course, consent is important. Everybody needs to be on board and like wanting to do that. But just try a little bit of pressure at first. If you're feeling really nervous, you can try this on your own when you're masturbating. Again, like lubed up fingertip, just try putting a little bit of pressure. If you're liking it, you can go in, like go up to your first knuckle, like just a little bit. If you're liking that, you can go up to the second knuckle. You gotta be careful with nails.
What if you got these long nails?
I looked and I go, whoop, nope, never mind.
Yeah, maybe not with nails. You're gonna just focus on the outside. But yeah, just starting with the outside can be really, really pleasurable. It's important for people to know there are a lot of nerve endings like in and around your butt. So it's definitely an area that's worth exploring. You don't have to if you don't want to, but we really like to try to remove the stigma and taboo from sexual acts and just tell people like it's normal, it's okay, we can all explore backdoor.
Yeah, and a lot of people find that anal play is a great complement to other stuff. Vanessa was saying that already, but most people don't have or don't want to have an orgasm from anal play alone.
Or aren't capable of it.
And so, yeah, so if the expectation is more like, oh, this is a nice little add-on that is not necessarily the main event or that's not the goal that, you know, or like we're not doing it for like 20 minutes in a row, that it's just a little bit at the end or in the middle or whatever.
How do you bring that up with a partner that is not necessarily open to having any sort of anal play?
So one thing you could do is use a toy. So if you have a partner who just like is feeling a little bit nervous about touching you, have them use a toy on you first. So it's like they don't have to have any direct contact with you, but you can still have that stimulation. Or even you could use the toy on yourself while your partner goes down on you or fingers you or something like that. That it is really important to make sure, like, you know, your partner's entitled to their own boundaries in their sex life, but they are not allowed to make you feel ashamed or guilty or like, ew, you want me to touch your butt? That's gross. Like, that's not an acceptable thing to say to another person. So we want to be careful about that.
I think the other side of that is that, of course, there are a lot of men out there who have this idea that any type of anal play, when it's focused on them, says something about their sexuality. Now, like, I can't just say one thing that's going to change that for anyone, but, you know, hopefully, you know, like, you know, having examples like me saying, like, you can be a straight man and love butt stuff. You know, you can be a man of any sexuality and enjoy butt stuff. It says nothing about your sexuality. Like, your sexuality is what you want it to be. It's what you feel inside. And, you know, unfortunately, there's this kind of outdated idea out there, you know, that a lot of men are socialized into, that like, okay, well, gay men like anal sex, so if I like anal sex, therefore I must be gay. But if you really want to like blow a guy's mind, you can be like, well, gay men also really love blowjobs, right? Like, really like blowjobs, right?
So what is that?
Wait a minute, connecting dots here, buddy. Like, it's just, and I've heard that so many times. Have you not?
Yeah.
Like, I needed to hear it from you, Xander, like, from someone who, like, lives and is married to and works in sex therapy.
Lives and breathes butt stuff.
Like, that's what she was going to say. No, but it's, like, it's so refreshing to hear you say it, because I can only say it from my mouth as a woman, mm-hmm. and it's not going to mean nearly as much, you know what I mean? So thank you for clarifying that. I really, really appreciate that.
And I think that's also goes to the females out there that are with male partners, is like, I've been very adamant about fingers in the butts. Like, I want guys to feel that and know what it's like. And I feel like some guys do, they like turn away from it right away. So I think this is awesome to know.
So helpful.
You have to tell a guy, like, a little bit of pressure on your butthole and you will have the hardest, strongest orgasm of your entire life.
Get
so
freaking ready.
If that's not motivation, I don't know what is.
Right? Buckle up, boys.
Just a little boop.
Just a little boop on the butt. Just a little boop. You know what a boop is. I have one question, and then we have a straight candor.
Candor with Xander.
What is going on with my words? Listener moment, but we'll get to that. So my question is, and I think I saw this on your Instagram page, can you learn to squirt? Because this is also another taboo of like, I know nothing about it. Like,
okay. So when you're seeing squirting in porn, it's almost always faked. So the important thing to know about squirting is squirting and orgasm are two totally separate things. So I think a lot of people get this confused and they think like, oh, she hasn't really had an orgasm unless she squirted. A lot of men get this very confused, but they're two totally separate processes. For the vast majority of women, squirting itself does not feel pleasurable. It's like, cool, my body did that. But most women that I talk to are like, it's a big inconvenience. Like, it gets everything messy. It's wet all over the place. We had to change the sheets. You know, so it's really important. Yeah, you can squirt without orgasming. You can orgasm without squirting. They're separate processes. So we don't have a ton of research on squirting. We don't know, is every woman capable of learning how to squirt? Probably it is. But my perspective and our perspective about this is that, like, these days squirting is really seen, there's a big performative aspect to it where a lot of women are feeling pressured to, where they're like, I don't really want to do it, but now it feels like he's so fixated on, like, I gotta make you squirt, I really want to make it happen. And so if you're genuinely curious about exploring your own body, then cool, go for it, see if you can learn. But otherwise, like, don't feel like you have to do this.
Yeah, especially if it's not going to be something that's going to add any more pleasure to you. It's like, I could learn how to juggle, like, while we're having sex, but why? Like, why?
Yeah,
that's now a, I kind of want you to.
You're like, wait a minute.
Look back and he's back there juggling.
You have to juggle while you get a blowjob. Go. Yeah.
So it isn't like adding pleasure. It's not adding this next level. So yeah. It really truly is coming probably from the porn world. People seeing it, thinking it means that. I mean, I remember in my first few sexual encounters with like early partners, them asking if I squirted every time we hooked up. And I'm like, I don't think so. Cause like, I didn't even know what it was. I'm like, I don't know. I clearly didn't, but like,
yeah, a lot of men are, you know, a lot of men are very visual and they're kind of looking to that visual confirmation of like, oh, I did a good job. I made her orgasm. Look at the proof, you know, and that it's just not how our bodies actually work.
And it's actually not the proof.
Yeah. And it's not the proof.
So it's a TBD. It's like a more research coming out. Do your own research. See if it, you know, like see if it's for you, but if not, it's not
why,
adding.
Yeah, why do it?
It's not adding. Okay, that's good to know because I've been very curious of that.
Before we read our, so we have a listener. This is our last thing. We have a listener who wrote in. They just want advice and they have a straight canon moment. I think it's more of a straight canon advice question.
Yeah, this one is.
But do you have anything else you want to share with our listeners that you think we haven't covered that you know they're probably wondering about right now? And if not,
oh my
we'll
God,
go
we have to just come back and do a part.
I know.
Two.
I was
we should do like a just all listener, more listener right. questions. Like we can actually do rapid fire.
Oh, yes. Oh, we don't care. I was just like, I'm like, they're going to be so mad at me, but I'm going to jump all freaking over. Like we had so many things.
You
like,
can be our sexperts that will ask our questions too. So I love it.
Yes. Yes, please. We love getting people's questions and like hearing what they're curious about. I mean, you can just give us a topic and the two of us will go on for a full hour about it. So we're always happy to talk about things.
I love your guys' dynamic. I love the dynamic and it's too. So cute. Vanessa like always is smiling when he's talking and it makes my heart warm.
Oh,
she loves you so much.
I'm gonna have to watch that video now.
I know, right? I'm like, oh, and you guys are just, I love the support between the two of you. And it's just like, you're kind of like this. I'm almost putting you on a pedestal. I'm not trying to. You're probably like, no. But like, just you've done the work to communicate and be a good and balanced couple in that area of sex. Like, regardless of if you're, you know, your background is being a sex therapist, it's like you actually did the work to get there. So props to you guys. Seriously.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Of course. Well, let me read this. So this one is a straight candid, more advice. We were talking about it, but I'm just going to read it and we can conversate about it. Okay. So it says, I have been happily dating my boyfriend of 16 years. I can't believe it. We have always had a pretty good sex life, although I don't really know any different. All of a sudden, I am so insecure and shy in bed. I have gained a little bit of weight recently, which could be the reason why, but I have no idea what to do and I don't feel good about sex anymore.
Okay. Yeah, this is an interesting one because we talk a lot about how vulnerability can actually increase in relationships the longer we've been together, that it can feel a lot of us get into these sort of routines with our sex life and doing anything outside of that can actually feel scarier. Like a lot of people in long-term relationships, you get more and more vanilla as time goes on. And the idea of kind of like breaking out of that and trying anything new can feel really vulnerable. I mean, my therapist brain definitely has so many follow-up questions about like, you know, what else might have changed? Like, is there something in the dynamic between the two of you? Are you feeling like emotionally close to each other? Did anything else change like in your relationship with yourself? I mean, the weight gain could be playing a role in it for sure, but it doesn't seem like that's the main thing that might be going on. So I have a lot of follow-up questions I want to ask.
I wonder if I mean, if you've been in a relationship for someone for a long time and like, you know, say like your body hasn't really, you know, neither of you have like had any major changes to your body or to your weight over that period of time. And then all of a sudden there's a change. It might feel like this is a hard topic to talk about because we've never talked about it before because there's never been an occasion to talk about it. So maybe could there be some ways to just initiate a conversation about maybe what like her fears could be?
Yeah, because we've had some really interesting conversations about like female body image and what men actually see. And this was actually very healing for me because we did this whole series on Instagram where we were talking about like different insecurities that we have as women, like, oh, I've got a little chicken wing. I've got like the love handle on the back. I don't have a thigh gap. And I did this story where I was telling Xander all of these and like kind of pointing them out on myself. And he's like, I literally don't understand what I'm looking at. And it was this very powerful moment of me realizing, like, oh, I've been socialized as a woman to be so hard on my body and feel like there's this incredibly narrow standard of what my body needs to fit into. But when I actually run that by the person who's seeing me naked, like, it literally didn't make sense to him. It wasn't even that he was like, no, babe, you're beautiful at any size. He was like, I don't understand what I'm looking at. Like, yeah. What do you mean a thigh gap?
Or like,
what,
I wouldn't, like, yeah, like, I wouldn't see that. If you showed me two pictures of, like, here's one where you have this thing and one where you don't, like, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, and we got so much feedback from the men in our audience saying, like, this is exactly how I see my partner. Like, I don't see all these flaws that she sees. And, like, and there was one man in particular who was like, I feel like women, they see themselves as this collection of flaws, but I see my wife as, like, the whole package. You know, I'm not looking at – I know, it, like, made me cry. And so I think, like, there were so many men who were frustrated saying, like, I see my girlfriend or my wife, like, picking herself apart all the time. And, like, she won't – it feels like she won't listen to me when I try to share with her, like, I love your body. I think you're sexy. Like, I don't see the things – I literally don't see the things that you're seeing in your body. And so many men, like, I wish – you know, I know that that's her relationship with her body and she's got to get to a good place herself. But, like, I wish she would trust me when I say, like – I love what I see.
Wow. I love this because, yeah, I mean, I hope everyone can be in a relationship that's like this.
Yeah.
And, like, I, for the first time in my life, like, my body image, when it comes to intimacy, like, I can tell my boyfriend, like, doesn't see flaws. Like, he, I like, I've never felt more comfortable naked, even when I'm, like, at my best or my worst, like, than with my boyfriend now. And, like, I know he doesn't see it. And, like, that's why I think it's so important to work on my own body image, because I'm the one that is picking myself apart, and it's not him. And it's probably not the random guy looking at me walking down the street anyways, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's very healing to hear. And yeah. I hope everyone can find that type of, you know,
because it's healing. So much more even than just, like, sex. It's like the photos that you post. It's like, yeah. I'll show my boyfriend like 45 photos and he's like, literally look the exact same to me. I don't even know what I'm looking at. What is different? And he thinks it's hilarious. And I'm like, it's my sister too. Cause my sister is even worse. She takes like a million photos too. And I'll be like, I can see, I'm like, oh, you probably like this one cause you're smiling like this. And Jordan's like, what are you talking about? Like, I do not see what you're looking at. So this is just so refreshing for sex, for real life, for social media, for literally at the gym, you know, you're worried about like, oh my God, did I have a love handle while I was running? It's like, God, no one is looking at that. Nobody is looking at that. Wow. You guys, this is one of our best podcasts. Like, wow. I learned more than I probably have in a very long time. Same. About all of the things, intimacy, sex, relationships. So a part two will be coming. That has been established already. That's done. We appreciate it more than ever. Can you guys give us like social media, plug yourself, where can people can find you?
Yeah, so the best place to find us is on Instagram. Our handle is Vanessa and Xander. We show up in stories every day, like really try to help couples get that conversation going, watch together, laugh together. We do a lot of ridiculous stuff on Instagram, so come over and find us there. And then you want to talk about our website?
Yeah, you can find us at vmtherapy.com. And also, yeah, we have a book coming out in February all about the 5 conversations you need to have a really excellent sex life and relationship. And you can check that out at sextalksbook.com.
I love it. I'm so excited, you guys. I can't wait to get the guide now. Yeah. I'm like, I am the book.
Guys, let's go.
I'm going to read the book in like 2 minutes. And I'm not a reader, and I will read the book in 2 minutes. I'm not kidding. I'm serious.
You guys can follow us at Straight Candid Podcast. I'm at Candid Soph.
I'm at Candid Sid.
And I'm at Ben Sarbacher.
Ben, I love you. You guys, thank you for being here. We appreciate the heck out of you. You guys, check their Instagram out because we're obsessed. So.
Obsessed.
Aww. Have a wonderful day. We love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh my gosh. You guys are amazing.
Wait, that was awesome. Thank you.
That was fun.
I learned so much.
Good.